Just hook up and out you go. Let's do it that way. So let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So once in a while, if I see that I'm being ornery, cantankerous, I'll tell you, and I apologize for it, because I always want to be in good spirits up here. And I realized I came in and I was gripping that wheel till my shoulders were hurting. And that's another thing. Please, please keep in your prayers. You know I have the shoulder issue, and they're required to go through a protocol to work on me. But what it's causing is my muscles are starting to knot and bunch up all across the top of my back. I can't sleep well. For the last several nights, I'm averaging about 4 hours maybe or less of sleep, because it wakes me up and just throbbing, hammering. And so it's like, we got to do something, guys. I can't keep this up. And so I want you to know, so if I seem a little bit, I'm not meaning to, but it's rough when you don't get your sleep and you wake up and muscles are just throbbing. And it's like, enough of this. And I can't roll over on this side very much. And all of this is, it's, for me, it's like, would you quit sticking me with needles and just fix it? That's me. Just get it done, and we'll get it over with. So anyway, keep me in your prayers. I'll keep you in my prayers. I love y'all, and I need every bit of support I can get in this whole thing. I just want to get this over with and move on with my life. I've had enough. I don't want any more surgeries. Let's just get this replaced. Let's move on. So let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit, because we're going to talk about some spiritual surgery today. Last week, if you weren't here, if you didn't hear it on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, please listen to that message. It's not because I want you to hear me. I want you to hear God and hear what he has to say about the Holy Spirit and what he is here to do, to teach us, encourage us, comfort us, and he reveals God's truth to us in its entirety. All right. So, we get into this thing of what's next with the Holy Spirit. You know, what is the evidence? And I know, and I won't get into all this stuff, but there are certain denominations, certain practices that says the evidence of the Holy Spirit is when you speak in tongues or when you do other things, and you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you lay hands on people. I'm not here to knock any. We'll do that in some class somewhere and talk about all the ramifications, that kind of stuff. What I'm trying to say is, if you want to know what the evidence is, and it's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you want to see it outwardly manifested, and this is for everybody to have, it's not optional, it must be displayed, it must come out, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's in Galatians 5:22-23, and that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a lot of them, and for the sake of time, I won't just... This is going to be kind of an overview, I guess, because I may have to make it in two parts. We'll see how it goes. But the fruit of the Spirit, I'm using the New King James Version, and what you're going to have up here, I want to give you a little introduction to, because I just thought, I don't want a whole bunch of stuff up here today, but I want to give you this. He starts off in Galatians 5 and in verse 16 saying, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he talks about what that is. The lust of the flesh, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. And he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So he says, here it is. And we all know, so I don't have to beat this, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Well, are we all disqualified now? Somewhere in that? I wanted to bring out in the Crossroads message today, and I want to bring it out here saying this. People will say to me, Tony, I'm going to tell you what, I've never committed adultery, I've never done this. And I say, you ever murdered anybody? No, of course not. You sure? And my response to that is this, because this often comes in with people who say, I feel guilt and I don't know why. I feel burdened, I feel convicted, but I've confessed everything I know. It's like, have you confessed murder? Well, I haven't killed anybody. And then that's when we get into the sure. Are you really sure? Have you ever spoken a word against anyone? Have you ever said anything bad about someone to someone else? You just pull the trigger on them. There's more forms of murder than just physically doing somebody in. More people have been murdered with the tongue than anything else. And sometimes when you're burdened and you're convicted and you don't know why, you've tried everything, ask God about that. God, have I murdered anyone with my tongue? It's not meant to beat us to death. It's meant to say, get that burden, that guilt off of you. But that is a murder that is committed probably by more Christians than any of the other sins combined. There's many churches, they are to call them the church of gossip. Because, it's blah, 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 blah. And you walk in and you're not dressed the right way. You didn't wear the right shoes. Your hair's not the right. And blah, 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 there's, and it's like, oh, man. Or the church of criticism. There could be a lot of interesting church names out here. But the point is, if we've ever spoken a word against someone, and we've ever said, I think blah, blah, blah. I have. I've done it. Been mad. Said things. I've said something. And it's like, is that a form of murder in God's eyes? Yeah. If I ruined their reputation, if I started something on them that hurt them, has anybody ever murdered me? Has anybody ever murdered you? I think we've all been murdered by people, haven't we? Your emotions have been just totally destroyed. Is anyone right here in this place? And have you ever just emotionally been murdered? Okay, yeah, there you go. Anybody else? Yeah, most of us. You were destroyed. Well, God holds that accountable, that the person that does that accountable, holds our tongue accountable. James, you go look at the book of James, and he talks about all this. So why is this in here? Why are you harping on this? Thought this was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is to overcome all this. It's to keep me from murdering people. It's to keep me from doing these things, committing these sins that God knows it's going to destroy myself and a whole bunch of other people. And so he named all these. He said, fornication, uncleanness, all this, and murders and the like, and revelries. He said, okay, and see, so to offset that, to beat that, you got to have something to go towards. And he said, this is what I want for you, the fruit of the Spirit. And he names it. Now, I know you've heard this, and it's been some years since I brought a message similar to this, but not this message. It's a new message, different message, but on the fruit of the Spirit, and it's love, joy, peace. See, this counters this burst of anger and the dissensions and all the stuff. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience. We'll get into that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he said, against such there's no law. Why would he say that? Because the law was against these works of the flesh, but he just wanted to remind everyone there's no law. See, the law is against all these evil deeds, but there's no law against these good ones. Now, here's the catch. And I wanted to bring an apple, some fruit, but we get the idea. I pick up an apple. I have an apple nearly every day. And I made a shake this morning. I chopped this apple up in there. But when you look at the apple, it's one fruit. But it has a skin on it. And it has a stem. It has a core. And it then has the pulp, the flesh. And it has seeds. So that one thing contains many other things, but it's one. Now, in the same way, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is one apple that has the stem and the core and many seeds, but it's one fruit. You don't get a choice with an apple. You get it all in that one fruit. The word, the spiritual fruit here is singular, not plural, and he's saying there's one fruit of the Holy Spirit, and in it is all this. Because I've heard Christians, and you'll hear on TV sometimes, or if you listen, whatever, wherever you listen, radio, YouTube, Facebook, you'll hear talking about the fruits of the Spirit. There is no such thing in the Greek. It's not fruits like you can pick and choose and go out to a tree and say, I'll take that peach. I'll take that plum. Oh, I don't like the looks of that apricot. I'm not picking that one. In other words, it's like you can pick the fruit you want to have and then skip the rest of them. No, you get the apple and it's all inside. So what he's saying is this, when it comes to the fruit of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that fruit is all these things inside, and you can't skip one. So what it is a heart search, and you have to look and say, which of the part of this fruit am I not letting be there? Is there a rotten place in the fruit that I'm allowing? And so we'll go through these, because these are to counter the sins of the flesh. You can call them the fruits of the flesh, from living outside of God's will and grieving the Holy Spirit or never accepting Christ. These counter that. These also, though, are evidence. How else is our fellow Christians and the lost out here going to know that you and I are Christians unless we have the fruit? It's the only way. Also, how are you going to live? How are you and I going to live a successful life, be empowered in the Holy Spirit, be effective out here, unless we bear this fruit? We are to be, listen, we have to be the fruit that everyone wants. Choice, delightful. In other words, we become, listen to this, we become what was lost in the garden. We become, in a sense, the fruit of the tree of life to the lost. You ever thought about it? That's what everyone has said. You're the fruit that Christ in you, your hope of glory. And so when we ask Jesus in our heart, and the Holy Spirit then begins to come and teach us and mold us and get rid of all this fleshly stuff and lead us to confess it, and he begins to develop in us what? You know, faith, hope, love, and all. We'll go through this, and joy, and the patience, perseverance. Why? Because that's what other people can take and eat from and become saved, not because they see that in us in an awful, mean, evil world doing the stuff we just read before that, and yet here we are as Christians and we're not participating. We bring a delight. We bring a source of joy. We bring something else. Peace in the midst of chaos. Make sense? But it's darn hard to let happen. Because you know what? To produce this fruit, you have to water and you have to fertilize. In other words, you got to take care of yourself. And you have to let the Lord have control of your life. He's the gardener and he'll do the watering and the fertilizing and all that. But you have to let him. And quit resisting him. So here it is. And so he says, the fruit of the Spirit, and we read all that, love, joy, and all this good stuff, and self-control, and there's no law against this. And he says, those who are Christ, hear this, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Anyway, that goes on. You can read all the rest of it. So let's grab this. He says, okay, here is the fruit. And let's open it up. Oh, what's that? In this one fruit, love. Here's agape love. What does that mean? Oh, that's love that doesn't quit. That's love that sacrifices. That when you look at Jesus, that's the love that he has. You said, I'm human. I don't know if I can ever. No, you can't do that. You will never produce love. But the Holy Spirit in you will. That's where it comes from. Now to do that, you said, oh, we knew there was a catch with the very first one. It's a catch with all of them. You know what it is? I have to be willing to come to God and say, God, in my heart, I'm an adulterer. In my heart, I'm a murderer. In my heart, I'm a vicious person. In my heart, I'm not near the things that I present to everybody else. And I have to be willing to come to him and be honest with him, honest with myself, and say, God, I'm all these things that you said I'm not supposed to be, and I confess that, and I ask deliverance from it, and I want you to replace that in your forgiveness, cast all those things in my life that I repent of in the depths of the sea, removed from me as far as east is from the west, and I want you now to produce the fruit that you want in my life. And it takes humility, and I've got to give it over. And that means the grumpiness, and the complaining, and the negative spirit. Don't like that, huh? There's resistance to that. There's resistance in all of us to some of that. But it's true. And how about stubbornness, just for the sake of stubbornness? Oh, I heard an exclamation over here. Are we okay at this table? I mean, some people are stubborn just to be stubborn. Or just tempered. Just want to be high-tempered. And it is a way of getting control and scaring everybody to death. And do you do that? Oh, she does? Okay. There was just a guilty look there in that smile. And just throwing, having that spell so everybody will back off. And we can have what we want to have. And God's saying, when are you going to let that go? When are you going to be broken of that and just give in? And to let me develop this love, that's divine love. That's, what does it mean? We've talked about this many times, but I'll give it to you real quick again. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this one. But it means agape love, which is what? Unmerited, transforming, unchangeable love. That's what God's love is. So if you want a definition for the kind of love this wants to produce, you look in the Greek and you study these words out and you find that's unmerited, transforming, unchangeable love, and that can only come from God. People, every so often, you may have had it happen to you or known others that did it, and they'll say, I don't know what's happened. I've just fallen out of love. Really? You ever been there? This is not to criticize you, knocking. How do you fall out of love? You know, because the question then you know, it begs to be answered, were you ever in love? Really loving, in love, really in love. Because you just falling out. And so it's like, wait a minute, you were emotionally attached. But if you were in love with that kind of love, you don't fall out of it. It would kill you rather than leave you. Because agape love, you don't fall out of. Agape love, you just grow in it. It's unmerited. It's full. It's unchangeable. And so this is not making anybody feel bad. I hear people often, we're just falling out of love. What do? You need to fall in love in the first place. With the love that God, you know, that God gives you. Let me say this to everybody. This is not a marriage. I know again. This is not a marriage counseling service, but I will say this. God's love in a relationship will help you overlook a lot of things that you're just getting all hung up about. I mean, after 30, 40, 50 years, it's like, God, I think I'll just quit getting hung up on this. It's never going to stop. So I'm just going to learn to deal with it, right? In every relationship with the most beautiful of people, there is a little bit of sharpness. You're going to find some things that grate on your nerves. And I'm finding something else. When I have to take these medications and do this stuff, it makes me more growly. I get irritable quicker, and I hate it. I'm not used to meds and all that. I've never in my life, and you know, all of you know, I'll take all this health food stuff and good stuff. But sometimes, you know, like for instance, and have that injection, and it has side effects on it. And part of that, it makes the muscles hurt, but also, I get in the heat or something, and I just start feeling, and it's like, what's wrong with you, Tony? That's not you. No, but it's this stuff. And it makes me just so uptight. Sometimes I had to just go in the house and sit down. It's like, and it's like, nothing's happening out here. Why is this happening? You can tell it's something working in your system. Okay, I don't have anybody that has to put up with me, but most of you, a lot of you do. So in that case, God's love will help you to recognize, hey, wait a minute, this is not all them, and it's not all about me. This is about Christ, and God give me the love to just move on as Jesus does with me and let this pass. You're going to be a lot happier. You're going to be happy. You'll have joy. And that's enough. That's what I can say about this. And listen, with your fellow church members, every one of us, golly, we have our. Was having my morning this morning. I try not to ever have those, but I was. And I realize it's lack of sleep, and it's just Tony, and just wake up cross-eyed once in a while. That's all I can say. Have your moments. We all do. And this is the love that Christ, this agape love. It's the love that sent Jesus to die on the cross and come out of that tomb. He died for sinful people. Nobody deserved it, and he did it anyway. And it's the love that allows Jesus to continue persevering, putting up with us. And he says, I will put that kind of love in your heart. It'll be in this fruit if you'll just let go of some things and let me. And just a love that won't quit. Let's put it that way. Secondly, let's grab another one. Joy. Joy. Where's the joy of the Lord in God's people? Do you see it anywhere? I mean, really, churches are having to put on these big shows and all these loud music and lots of stuff to get people to clapping their hands and I hear, you know, hear these young pastors say that, you know, that, and music people, directors and all, they say, well, we got to get them going. We got to get them cranked up, you know, and get them dancing around and hopping. And I said, do you ever watch them in the parking lot? Especially when they go out of here. They don't have the joy of the Lord. They have an emotional hopper thing going on. But watch them when they get out in the parking lot and have to drive out in an orderly fashion. Then you see what kind of words are coming out of their little joyful mouths. You know, and that's what he's saying here. I'll give you, he said, with that love, I'll give you the joy of the Lord. That will let you walk out there, and when some of those folks try to run over you, you literally can just sit there in peace in your heart and say, there's a lot of other things that I am so pleased to God. I'm just glad, God, I can be here. That's what the joy of the Lord does. And you don't focus on the trivial. You stay focused on the major things. And what's that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't get hung up on all the other stuff. Listen, I was out the other day and we were out, and you know, does everybody know what an agarita is? Oh, okay. Well, it's one of the meanest little bushes that you'll find. Agarita has some of the sweetest little berries on it. And I was out picking them. And they're so good. You just pick them and, you know, and everything, and they make, I shouldn't say this in church, but I will. Anyway, they make agarita wine out of that stuff. And agarita jelly. If any of you ever get into agarita, bring me some jelly, please. I love it. It's the sweetest. But, there's, it doesn't have thorns. The leaves themselves have about 6 points. One at the end and then zinc, ding. And those little points, when you reach in there to get that berry, will pierce right through your skin and the leaf sticks to your body. You have to pull it out. I've learned to work my fingers up under there, but I know I'm going to get scarred and all kinds of little, they are bad. But you see, but they cover the, one of the most pleasant little berries growing in the wild, and it's wonderful. So what people have learned to do is take sheets, and they put sheets underneath them and around the bush, and take sticks and stand back and whack them, and all the little berries fall down. You know about that, yeah. And then they make whatever they're going to make out of it. But I go pulling them off, and y'all were out there, and we were pulling those little berries. But man, I had these little sticky sticks, and if you just a little bit hard, that leaf comes off and it's stuck in your skin. They're great if you don't want anybody crawling through your window, because you can put them on the window ledge and let them dry, and they're wicked. I've walked on them. I've stepped out on the porch barefoot, and they've blown up on the porch. And I mean, it will not come out. You have to sit down and pull them out. So, you say, why did you say all that? I just wanted to tell you about agarita. Now, what I wanted to say is this. There's a reason for that little story. And it's not to waste your time. In life, a whole lot of life, to get the sweet, you've just got to be willing to get by what sticks you. Don't get hung up on the leaf sticking you in life. Get hung up on the fruit that God wants you to have. And a lot of times we're over here getting all nasty and complaining. Oh, this thing's sticking me. I don't like it. I don't like that person. You know, they're just an agarita leaf. But what about the sweet that's underneath it? And God wants to teach us in this with this love and this joy. That's where joy comes from. It comes from knowing Christ and trusting His Word. It comes from reaching under there, even when you get the little sticks of life. And you don't focus on the sticks, you focus on how sweet it is in Jesus Christ. Man, that's where it's at. You've got to decide in your heart, determine, am I going to focus on what's bad and what sticks me in life, or am I going to focus on the object to get the fruit, to get the goody? That's what we used to call it as growing up. I want the goody. You know, that's what they'd get onto us for, you know, Oreo cookies and stuff. We'd licked all the goody out and left the outside and just left it. And everybody wanted to get the goody. And there were other little things. There was a banana thing. What's it called? It came in a package, a banana split type dessert. Do you remember anybody remember that? It was a folded over and there was a cream in there. Yeah. We'd open that up and lick the cream out and then wrap it back up. Yeah, just to get the goody. Everything in life has a wrapper on it. Think about it. It has sticky leaves. It has things that you have to really want. Life is like that. And some reason God's allowed that. And I think it's to teach us. I really do. And I've seen it in my own life. I've got to get stuck once in a while. And it tests me. Do you really want the good that I have? Then you got to kind of walk the Pilgrim's Progress road. It's true. And have that joy that takes you through there no matter what. Because life is not what a lot of us were taught in the beginning. When I was first saved, and I had this teaching, or you catch it kind of, that, oh, you just ask Jesus and your heart's going to be all right. Things are going to be good. Boy, those people's noses must be really long by now to tell them something like that. Because the opposite is true. In the Christian life, there's a bunch of sharp, sticky thorns and agarita leaves out there and everything else that'll catch you. There's another little bush called cat's claw. Anybody run into that stuff? That will catch your clothes and you're not going anywhere. It's real tiny. Thorns can hardly see them, but they see you. There's a bunch of that in life. I look at that and relate it to the enemy and how the devil's always reaching out, trying to hang us up, stop us in our path. And get you sidetracked and upset, and it makes you bleed with a little tiny thing. And you have to just rip it out. Listen, life is like that. That's the way it is. It's not a smooth thing, and there's a lot of little catchy things. But friends, there's fruit under there. And that's the fruit. Listen, that's the fruit God wants you bearing to people. They'll reach through the thorniness that you have. We all have some thorny things and sticky things, and but God wants them reaching out there to get the fruit. Because we're the only sweet that a lot of people out here will ever taste in their lives. This is it. So don't get sour. Don't get dried up. Let the love and the joy. And what about peace? It comes from the Hebrew word. Remember the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom? It means cessation of war. You're not in conflict in yourself anymore. It's peace with God, and it flows out of our hearts through the Holy Spirit onto other people. Now listen, here's the thing about peace. You have to work for it. You have to strive for it. You have to not let all the sticky, nasty things of life take it from you. A person at peace in their heart cannot be conquered. But the person in confusion and frustration and anger and inner turmoil, inner chaos, is easy prey. And that's why God wants you to get rid of these fleshly things. Give it to Him and let Him put in you in this one big apple. People reach in there and they, there's love, there's joy, there's peace in this thing. Peace. Take it everywhere you go and give it to people. With the love and joy of Christ. Just peace. Give it in the church, give it in the home, give it to each other. And listen, when people are all screaming and raving and going losing control like they are everywhere, walk in with the peace of Christ in your heart and bring it to them. Just by your very presence and the Spirit's presence flowing out of you, you don't have to say much. Just they call it bearing. But you've got that Christian bearing and it affects everybody. That's what God wants us. And we can't be caught up in these little peripheral things. Everybody else is, and they're running here and there. I wanted to say on the radio broadcast this morning, I was talking about crossroads. I'm going to tell you one of the toughest crossroads that we're facing today, and you're probably going to laugh at me, but it's real. It's putting down the cell phone long enough to hear God. It's putting down the cell phone long enough to look into the eyes of another person and see what's really there. It's just shutting off what was intended to be a great thing, and can be, that's now turned into a really terrible instrument of the devil. Don't go sell everybody. Tony said cell phones are the devil. but he uses it. People, when you sit at the table with your family, make them put it down. Make yourself put it down. And look into the eyes of other human beings and start being a people person again instead of a robot. That's free advice. It's not part of the message, but go ahead and take it anyway. When somebody is visiting with me and they come into the problem and they're sitting there with that, and I mentioned this before, our deal is done. Either we talk or y'all talk, but we ain't ball talk. We're not all talking. I said ain't. I try not to say ain't. Makes you look like an old hick. So anyway, enough on the peace. Let's look at long suffering. I don't have to say much about it. I've said this before. I'm convinced. Really? Well, I think that'd be a lie. Everybody in here has developed long-suffering patience. I don't know of anybody impatient in here, do y'all? Okay. Does it have anything about lying in there? That has to go. Let's narrow this down. You want long-suffering? I put slash patience. Depends on your translation. But you know what it really is? It's the quality of putting up with other people when they really try to annoy you. I put that in real lay terms. It's just putting up with other people when they really try to annoy you. It's putting up, listen, patience is putting up with somebody else that you wouldn't normally put up with. That's what it is. And it's putting up with the things in life that you in the flesh wouldn't put up with. It's accepting that some things are just the way they are, and most people are the way they are, and unless Jesus comes into the heart, they're not going to change. Just tolerance to it. And it's accepting the fact that that's the way it is, folks. And patience is that quality of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that says, you can deal with this. You can put up with their mannerisms. You can handle it. One of the things that that's bugged me is when people shake their silverware at you, it's got food on it. You ever have that happen? They're talking. They're not mad, but they they take a bite or whatever, and then they're talking with their silverware, and it's like, dang, and I don't want that dressing on my shirt, especially not after it's been with your stuff. But you ever have that problem? That's just one of my things. Don't talk with your silverware, and you just want to reach out and. If it's got tuna casserole, please don't sling tuna casserole on me. Oh, my Lord. Hey, I had a horrible thing happen. It's awful. I take fish oil every day. Capsules, morning and evening. I grabbed that fish oil, was holding it in my hand, getting my water, and when I put it in my mouth, it burst. At that moment, if I could have traded, tuna casserole would have been the top of my list. Don't let one of them break on your tongue. And guess what? The worst part. I kept smelling it, even though I scrubbed my mustache. I thought the hair was coming out. And rinsed everything. But I kept smelling it and smelling it, smelling it. Everything I would eat the next 2 days smelled like fish oil. I ate a piece of watermelon. And I set it down and I said out loud, this thing smells like fish oil. It was just there in my head. By the way, isn't that the way the devil works? To destroy a lot of this fruit? He gets in your head. And it's not really something out there that bad at all, but it's in your head. And he steals your joy with it. And he steals your patience. It's one of the true characteristics of Jesus Christ to have this joy. Do you mind if I break this in half? I'm going to stop. I got to stop at this next one. There's just no way. And then I'll fill it in with some other things next time, if that's all right. Yes. There's Agarita. Thank you. Ed found Agarita. See those little leaves? They will pierce your little body. And look at the fruit, though. And those are absolute, when they're ripe like that, they melt in your mouth, sweet. But yeah, thank you, Ed. But if you look at some of those leaves out there, got those sharp points, and then all down the leaf, they're razor sharp. Yes, sir. That's who you give to somebody you don't ever want to come back again. Let me close with this. This word that's tied into this. No, I can't. I'm going to close right here because these others work together. They all are connected on the last part of this. So let me close with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and patience. Listen, if you have these things, here's what he says. If you just begin letting this, we're going to talk about self-control next time. Wait a minute, next time is that Father's Day? Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, Dad, self-control will help us all. Okay, we'll work on that. And again, it says, remember, there's nothing against this stuff. There's no law. God wants it. This is the fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, that one fruit. And he said, if we live in the Spirit, walk in it. So take these four, maybe it'd be overwhelming with the rest of them, and just walk in the Spirit with this. Walk in the Spirit with it. And he said, by the way, you don't have this up here, but I'm reading it to you. Don't become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He said, this fruit will keep you from doing that. Because a lot of times when people are really bearing fruit, there's one thing every Christian has to guard against. When things are going right for you, you got to be careful not to get a little cocky about it and let your ego get out there. That happened to a guy back in the Old Testament, remember? And he claimed credit for what God was doing, and God made him go out and eat grass with the cattle for 7 years. I don't want to go there. So let the love, let the joy, yeah, let the peace, let all this good stuff happen in your life, and you keep it in perspective, and when little things start sticking you, remember, I'm going for the little fruit. And turn it around and remember, they're going for the fruit they see in me. So I want it to be as sweet, delicate, and wonderful as it can be. God, make my love pure. Make this joy pure. Make everything in my life pure and make my patience pure. Let the world see that I'm really your disciple. Amen. Father, thank you for your word, this part that we got to do. Thank you for living in and through us. Thank you for forgiving us, helping us, leading us, guiding and directing us. God, we love you. And thank you for binding the devil from us. And thank you that we have a good day. And we're alive and we're here. Lead us on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.